I need to turn it on, or is it on?
Okay.
Okay. I'd like to just tell you a little bit about the church before I bring a very, very short message. And I mean that because when I heard I was going second, I said, well, forget about the four pages of notes. That's okay. But I have something else that's been on my heart anyway. But I'd like to tell you a little bit about the church, what's happening. We're in the summertime right now, obviously, but we're on the university campus. So that makes it a very special time. And I always tell my wife, God is not limited by demographics. And so we're still very hopeful that God is going to open up something. We have really been praying for a second pastor, a man. I don't think you can build a church on women. I think women are great. I've married one. But I don't think you can build a church on women. We've had lots of women come through, and lots of women have come through and come through and come through, but they don't stay. So we're praying for a man. There's a man by the name of Will Branch. He came out of a very bad background, drugs, and I can't even mention the stuff he's been through, but he's been, every morning I go out by God's grace. I have a little electric trolley, and I zoom out to the campus, and I set up a table full of free Bibles about this size with bows on them and gospel tracts, and it's great. But I'm doing it all by myself. And I read the Bible audibly on a PA system. And I've been very blessed by that. I mean, it fills my spirit with the Word of God every single day. For a long time I was preaching, and that was great too. But I can sit there for literally 1 to 5 hours just reading the Word, and I've gotten through the Bible 6 times in the last year. You know, so the Word is going out. But Will Branch, he's an African American, he's going to his church, but he's been coming and helping us, and I'm persuaded that God is doing something in his life. He's very excited about what we're doing, and I'm very excited about what God's doing.
Amen.
So you pray for us. The other thing I would ask for prayer for is that our building is going to be torn down sometime. So we have good news about the South Side building. They're looking for one. Well, so are we in about a year. Our lease runs out in about a year. The property around us is very expensive. We got a very good deal, and we have a very nice building. If you've ever been there, you'd probably agree with me. In the time past, I would probably be very faithless at this point and fret and wonder what's going to happen. But I told my wife, if it comes down to it, we'll just have church on campus. We'll just do open-air church. So I'm not worried about it. And so I'm very relieved about what God is doing. I'm so pleased with his answers to prayer. I'm so pleased with my beautiful wife, who's been very faithful. And she builds her church. You think about that verse in Ecclesiastes. It says, a man among 1,000 have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. That woman is worth 1,000 men. Wow. And so is your wife if she's faithful. They're very rare. Their price is far above rubies. So, I don't want to be long tonight. Honestly, I've got 4 pages, but I'm going to reserve that message for Sunday morning, I think. But I do want to just bring a short word that I think is important for any church looking to evangelize the world and to put your priorities in check, if you will. Because that's something I have to do every single day of my life, is make sure my priorities are in check. So I'd like you to go, with that being said, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And before I get into the message, I would like to thank Brother Lindell. I think it was Brother Lindell, Brother Brian, Brother Steve who's here. Billy was off in the mission field. Mike was in the mission field. Who was the other pastor? I can't remember. Trini. And as Mike said, this is where I learned doctrine. This is where I learned to preach, such as it is. But I learned it from you guys. If you don't like it, it's because you taught me how to do this. So, but I'm very thankful for this church. I've learned a whole lot. And thank you for your prayers.
Thank you.
And we do pray for you as well. So in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, as I said. Can everybody hear me in the back as I speak? Okay. All right, good. It says, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God." Verse 14, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him." So, when I see verse 11, this is a verse that I memorized a long time ago. And it's very, I think it's a very deep verse, probably much deeper than I could ever express. But he says, God hath made everything beautiful in his time. And I think expressly about the beauty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Is there anything more elegant than that? I mean, the one who spoke the world into existence with a span of his hands. The one who created all the flora, all the fauna, all the beautiful things. Do you know that in every cell of your body, you have what they call DNA? And in this DNA, it's so intricate, it has every strand of DNA has 3 billion nucleotide bases, and they perfectly describe you as the person you are. Your eye color, your hair color, your bone density, everything in every cell of your body. And God does this in such simplicity. I mean, and then you go out to, you go from that, and then you look at this beautiful earth with all of its complexity. And by no means am I a scientist that could describe all these things. But you look out into space and you see just stars and stars and stars. And back in 1917, Einstein went to, or 1930 I think it was, Einstein went with Hubble, and he looked through that telescope and he said, "Oh, there was a beginning," because he saw this red shift and all the stars and everything's expanding just like the Bible said. He spun it out with his hand and everything's going out in every direction. Think about it. If it was all static, you could say that God didn't exist, right? Because if it's not expanding, then it could just have been there for an eternity. But if it's expanding, every star and every nebula, everything out there is all going out in different directions. You know what that means? There was a singularity, which means it was at one single point at one time, and God said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's what the Bible says. And all the scientists are befuddled by it. God is so beautiful, what he's done. The salvation of our soul is precious. I mean, God has taken somebody like you or somebody like me, taken him out of the dunghill, set his feet upon a rock, and established his going. And put a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God. And then many see it and fear because of you. They trust in the Lord, and God's doing this great things by inspiration every single day. It's always brand new. It's always wonderful. Samuel Rutherford said, "I wish I could get everybody in the earth to go to prison so that they could write love letters to Christ and poetry to Christ, and then they would all do that in unison in my behalf so that I could adequately describe his beauty and his love and his splendor and all the good things he has." Amen. Wow. Amen. There's nothing like my Christ. Amen. He's beyond explanation. Oh, the depths of the wisdom, both of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. How unspeakable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Whoo! God is good, and there's no end to his goodness. His mercy endures forever. He's your shield. He's your high tower. He's the buckler for during all your troubles. He's everything to everyone. He is all in all, it says in 1 Corinthians 15. He's everything, and he's beautiful, and he's made you beautiful. Amen. And I'm not saying that everybody is beautiful, like, oh, we're all going to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God is so beautiful. He's made everything beautiful. The next part of this verse is interesting. If I can get back to my text here, maybe I should put a marker so I don't lose it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So it's 11b, if you will, starting with the colon. It says also. It was very interesting. Also, he has set the world in their heart. And then he explains what happens when he does that. In other words, all these things are so unimaginable. Like in Romans 1, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and their foolish heart was darkened, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who's overall God blessed forever. God sets the world in their heart. This creation is so magnificent and it's so wonderful that it has all the scientists and all the smart people befuddled. They don't have a clue. They profess themselves to be wise, but God has set this world such as it is, in its splendor and in its wonder, and men just shrink back and they don't know what to do with it. He set the world in their heart. So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I would say to the degree think about it. Would you want to know when you're going to die? I think Jesus was the only one who was born to die. I mean, he knew the day of his death. He said, mine hour is not yet come. And then he said, my hour is come. And he knew and that would be terrifying for most of us. But to the degree that God reveals, puts this world, the world's in your heart, is at the same degree that you're not going to understand these things of God. Colossians chapter 3. What does it say? Set your affections, plural. No, affection, singular, on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? Because you're dead. To the degree that you're dead and you put your faith in Christ and put your hope in Him is the degree that He can live and move and have His being in you. Verse 12, I know that there is no good in them. Well, that's true. Romans chapter 3, right? None good, no, not one. There's no good in them. Bunch of sorry outfits is what Roloff used to say, right? Just a bunch of sorry, unthankful, with all that God's given you, His green earth and His air and His food, there's no good in them. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And so we sit back in the Lord and say, well, there's none that doeth good, so I just won't do anything good. But he didn't stop there. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life. I think of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, where he says, okay, young man, or over in Lamentation, right? Lamentation first says, it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And then he says, okay, young man, remember now thy Creator in the time of your youth, while you have time, before the keepers start to tremble and well, you know, remember Danny preached that one time, you know? I mean, before you decay and the silver bowl is broken and the silver cord loose, or the golden bowl broken, the silver cord loose, etc. And you go to your long home. So what does he say here? There's no good in man, but that he should do good, to rejoice and to do good in his life. And that also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. So, again, you go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, the end of the chapter, and he says, okay, young man, you can go after your heart and rejoice in all the things that you're doing, but remember this. And then he says, you're coming in the judgment. Just remember that as you enjoy this great earth, this beautiful thing that God has created. Remember this, that someday you'll give an account for everything you've done. Don't let that slip your mind, even though you're enjoying it. And I'd say my youthful years were the most fun years I ever had, except for now, because I'm having more fun now, serving Jesus Christ. He's my everything. He's infinitely better than this world. He is so... I recommend Him to you, young people, vehemently. I recommend you serve Him, because someday you're going to go to your long home. Someday you'll be as old as me. You'll be as old as dirt. And then you'll die and you'll go to your long home. So rejoice. Eat and drink. Have fun. Have a good time. That's all right. And so here's my real text, verse 14. I preach it very often because it's such an important part of doctrine, I think. It says, I know that whatsoever God doeth. Do you know what he's doing? Well, he's trying to get your attention. I think that was evident from what Brother Mike said. He's trying to show you he's sovereign.
Amen.
He's trying to show you that you have a responsibility.
Amen.
He's trying to show you his love.
Yes.
I know that God, what God does. This is what Solomon, this man who had everything, men singers, women singers, all the different foods of all the different places around the earth. Queen of Sheba brought him spices and abundance, and he just had everything. Just like Americans, I guess. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Jonathan Edwards preached a message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, in 1742, started the American Great Awakening. He preached in a monotone voice, and before he would preach, he would be back at home, weeping and crying and asking God, God, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Let me see through the lens of eternity. Don't let me just live for here and now. Don't let me just eat and drink and rejoice in my youth. Let me see something farther out. He wrote 70 resolutions in his life, starting at the age of 18 years old. He wrote 70 in a three-year period, ending in 1723, I believe. And one of the resolutions was resolution number 63. See if I can remember. I tried to remember this one. He says, on the supposition that there was never to be any one person in the world who was properly a complete Christian, in all respects of a right stamp, having Christianity always shining in its true luster and appearing excellent and lovely from whatever part and under whatever character viewed, resolved to act just as I would if I strove with all my might to be that one who should live in my time.
Amen.
Does that sound like you? He wanted to run the race as if there was only one winner. Right? 1 Corinthians 9:24. I mean, he kept under his body. He read his resolutions every week, every month, every year, and he examined whether or not he was in accordance to the scripture, according to what God wanted him to do. And at a very young age, he set the course for being one of the world's greatest evangelists we've ever seen, or maybe ever will see. There's a little hint there. Romans 13 says, let us walk circumspectly.
Amen.
Circumspectly, there's a circle around you. You need to look around, ponder the path of your feet. Let all thy ways be established. Let not your eyes look to the right hand or the left. Remove your foot from evil.
Amen.
Circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It's not that he was great. It was that God is so great.
Amen.
And if you'll consecrate yourself to God, he'll make it something great in you. And it'll all reflect up to him. It'll be for his glory. So again, the text is, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. That's eternity. And then he says two things. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. You can't take back your youth. You can't take back, I mean, you can get forgiveness of sins. Don't get me wrong. You can't take back, the prodigal son didn't get his inheritance back. Nothing can be put to it. My wife and I often are sickened when we hear people say, oh, I'm so blessed because I fornicated and I had this little child. You should have had that child in wedlock and you would have had maybe the same child with a blessed father and a mother and not have a, and I don't mean to say anything negative about anybody, but that child could have had a better life. If you'd done it God's way, bearing the yoke in your youth. Nothing can be put to it. You can't take anything, you can't put anything into it. There's no faith necessary in heaven. There's no prayer meetings in heaven. There's no world evangelistic conferences in heaven. Are there?
Amen.
We don't need faith in heaven.
Right.
We're going to see Jesus and we're going to be like him. We're going to be just like him. Nothing can be put to it. You can't add anything to your works. You can't do, and I mean works for reward. And there's going to be differences in heaven. Some people are going to be eternally said, he was called great. And then he was called least. And this person was shining as the brightness of the firmament. And this person was kind of dim. You know, there's going to be differences in heaven. And you can't change that. I'm convinced, whether you agree with me or not, doesn't really matter, but I'm convinced that our reward is Christ, and that in Christ only. That's what Abraham, he told Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. Amen. My closeness to Christ is everything. Oh, how sweet it is to embrace him. Oh, how sweet it is to talk to him. How wonderful it is that we can bring up our prayers like incense and cover the mercy seat where he sits. And then he smells the aroma of our prayers and desires to hear your voice and to hear your prayers and your supplications. And he yearns to do something with you. Amen. Can you imagine a God that big? Amen. Somebody like us, some dunghill, that he wants to do something with us? Nothing can be put to that. You can't get any closer to Christ. You can disagree with me if you want. You will not get any closer to Christ than you get here on earth. Donald Trump is a good president, I believe. I didn't vote for him. I voted for Cruz, threw my vote away. But I think he's a good president. I don't know him. Do you? Anybody know him? First name basis? Had lunch with him? Has he brought you to the White House? I thought so. If he makes good laws, those good laws will be in my behalf. But oh, if I knew him. Oh, if I could go and talk to him. Oh, if I could have sweet fellowship with him. Oh, if I could be, in a sense, his counselor. How about with Christ? Do we care that much about Christ? Don't we want to know him? Don't we want to take sweet counsel together with him? Don't we want to be in his presence? Don't we want, do you desire the sweetness of his raiment that smells like cassia and myrrh and aloes? And you just want to be near him? If that's what you desire. I think you take that desire with you to heaven. I mean, you're going to be frozen in heaven, so to speak, with whatever desire, with whatever love, with whatever rewards that you have. That's the reward you have, and that's what you throw down at his precious feet. Nothing can be put to that. Nothing. It's over. This is your time to shine. This is your time to serve. This is your time to love. This is your time to pray. This is your time to be consecrated. Nothing can be put to it later. And then he says, nothing can be taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Young people, I love you, and Christ loves you. He loves you so much more than your parents love you. He wants your best. He wants to see you with a desired end. He has a design in your life. If you're born again, if you belong to him, he wants you to be with him for an eternity. And he says nothing can be taken from it. Your bad mistakes can be forgiven. But David, I'll remind you, committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed Uriah the Hittite. And the Bible says the sword never departed from his house. Isn't this true? He was the one who was known as the one that God, that was close to God, a friend of God. I mean, in relation. But he never, never can take away that stigma. I don't know how that's going to work out in heaven. I know it's going to be great in heaven, no matter if you're the lowest or if you're the highest. But I can tell you this, I don't know Donald Trump, but if I knew him, it would be so much better of a country to live in if I just knew him and could spend more time with him and be close to him and maybe pick up the phone and talk to him. And how wretched it would be in heaven to be so far away from him down here on earth and then get up in heaven and hardly, scarcely know his name. Never had an utterance of a whisper of prayer in the night seasons to tell him how precious he is and that he's the lily of the valley, or actually we are, but he's so sweet and so wonderful. This is your time. He says, sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. This is the time to stop sinning. Does that sound funny? But it's not funny at all. This is the time to stop sinning and get serious about God. You can be forgiven for sin, but your legacy will follow you every day of your life, and it'll go into an eternity. And you'll have to do a lot of making up, like this brother right here. And some other brothers in this room had to do a lot of makeup. Even Brother Paul had to do a lot of makeup, didn't he? Because he persecuted the church of God. But he said, by the grace of God, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And so if you're in such and such a state as you've been sinning as a young person, make it up. Do something for Christ. Get serious. Pray that God stamp eternity on your eyeballs. Have a longer look. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. You can't put anything to it. Nothing can be taken back. And God doeth it that men should have a holy and reverent fear of being not so close to Christ for an eternity. How would that feel? Oh, how I long and I ache even now to be with Him. How wonderful it will be to finally fall prostrate before His throne and kiss His feet and weep and tell Him how wonderful He is. Why not do it now?
Amen.
Why not commit your life to Christ now? This is the time. Today is the acceptable time. Today's the time to get your life right. Today's the time to have that intimacy with Christ, because nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him.
Thank you, Mark. We miss you guys, and we pray for you.
Amen.
You know,